Yo, yo, what is good, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, where we help you build yourself, build your business, and join the new 1% of individuals that are living a meaningful, free, and fulfilled life through self-development and online entrepreneurship. In this episode, I have Jay Croft, who is a surfer, creator, dreamer, digital marketer, traveler, photographer, mindfulness aficionado, all of the above. Great dude. He has a lot to share in many areas of life. He has a great story. We actually have a very similar story about how we started off in drop shipping, started our own brands. He still has that brand, but now he is planning on building that. He still does great photography, absolutely amazing photography, and he's getting into the NFT game. So if you want to learn more about his journey, stick around for the episode. That's the reason you're listening to this, and it is a good one. Before we get into it, let's talk about Modern Mastery HQ. MMHQ is a tight-knit community of creators, coaches, freelancers, and any other ambitious individuals that want to grow themselves and their businesses. You get to steal the proven systems, strategies, and processes from myself, a marketing consultant, and Joey, a performance consultant, to build a predictable and sustainable income source as an online entrepreneur through both tangible and intangible skills. This success is a result of becoming a high-value individual. This is what our teachings help you achieve. The information inside is responsible for making members tens of thousands of dollars and drastically improving their quality of life. From monthly trainings, weekly action articles, 30-day habit challenges, monthly live calls, real-time help, and much more, it is the all-in-one solution for growing yourself and your business. As an entrepreneur, your business growth relies on your personal growth. In Modern Mastery HQ, we nearly force both of those. If you absorb the information and do what we say, it is near impossible to fail. Our processes are time-tested and proven, and we hold nothing back. So if you want to join the only platform you need to master your mind, body, and spirit while growing a 5 to 10K a month online business, go to join.modernmastery.co to see if you're a good fit. That is join.modernmastery.co. I also want to mention that the Mastery Program has been launched. So what the Mastery Program is, it is Joey, Cypreneur, and Minds Consulting combined. So if you're a creator, coach, freelancer, you're starting an online business, you have a product, you have a service, you're selling something online and you want to sell it better, you want to sell more, you want to become more efficient in your life and business by setting up the right systems that you can come back to time and time again for the lifetime of your entrepreneurial journey, then consider checking out the Mastery Program at join.modernmastery.co/program. In a nutshell, the Mastery Program is a 6-month program, very intensive program for accelerating your performance and business. You get to steal all of our systems, processes, strategies for making more sales, landing high-paying clients, building out your funnel, literally everything. This is the only course you'll ever need, and you get to refer back to everything for your lifetime. You just get to copy and paste it. And we also guarantee that you recoup your investment. So if you don't make your money back by the time that the program ends, then we will continue working with you until you do. So again, if you want to check that out and apply, go to join.modernmastery.co/program. There are a few early bird spots left at the time of me recording this. Those may go quick. I believe there's 9 spots left, and that is at a massive discount. So once those go, the price will increase, and we haven't even promoted on our social media accounts yet. So if you're interested, check it out and enroll. And last but not least, I have 3 favors to ask that cost a whopping $0 to do. Number 1, subscribe or follow, depending on what platform you're listening to this podcast on. Favor number 2, tell us what you thought about this podcast episode on Twitter or Instagram at Modern Mastery HQ, or you can at me at the Dan Co or at Joey at Cypreneur. And favor number 3, enjoy this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. Brother Jay Croft, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's good, dude? I'm doing amazing, bro. Another day in paradise, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing absolutely amazing. The first thing that always comes to mind is, like, right now it's all NFT stuff, and I want to talk about Bali Bliss because I fucking love your pictures. First of all,
Thank you, bro.
your creativity, your process. I used to do some photography myself. Like right now I have my roommate take pictures of me, and I'll go in and edit them and like go back to the old days of Lightroom and raw images and stuff. So that's really fun. But the first question I have for everyone, and feel free to take your time and munch on this, and you may have the answer right away, but what is your life philosophy in one sentence?
Oof. Dude. Wow. That is a banger question. Man, honestly, this is going to sound maybe cliche and not a great answer, but dude, I think it just boils down to being a kind human, man. Like at the end of the day, I think that's what always wins, is just kindness, you know, no matter what you're doing. If you, you know, act with kindness, I think it all comes back around. And I would say that's my philosophy, is just being a good human, you know, despite, even if you're in some chaotic, like high intense business environment, like, you know, just being a rad dude, someone who, you know, uplifts people and is positive. So yeah, man, I think that's it.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect answer. And a lot of, almost everyone prefaces it with, this may sound cliche or something like that, because that, I don't know, it, people have already figured it out. And once you've been through the ringer a few times, it becomes more and more true to you and you resonate with it more. So I completely get that. And
dude,
I agree.
And actually, I'm going to have two answers for this one, because the other one I think that I always come back to is, I actually got this from Russ, his book, and it goes, trust the what, fuck the when. And I just love that, because he's basically saying, like, trust in your ability and your passion, but fuck the when. Like, it's going to happen on time if you just put in the work, and it's going to compound. So trust the what, fuck the when has been huge for me, especially in this world of, you know, comparison and social media and all that. Just like staying focused on my own journey and knowing that, you know, it's all going to align as it should. And so I think that's another big one.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I don't listen to much Russ or like follow him much. Maybe I should, but that is a great philosophy. I like it. And it's something that we've both experienced to some degree, right? So it's definitely easy to resonate with that. Once you gain more experience, once you do more things in life, once you try things out, you actually find those passions and pursue them fully and understand that there is a way. It's just a matter of when, but not focusing on the when, right?
Yes, sir.
Or enjoy the journey, don't focus on the outcome or something, whatever that is. But
yep,
I am gonna do this injustice, but to anyone listening, when people fill out like a little form before they get on this podcast, it asks them like what they struggled with most in life and where they started in their journey. And I don't want to butcher this, so I want you to tell us, like, where was that turning point in life where you were at a very low point?
Yeah.
You realized something, you came out of it, and now you have that lesson to teach others.
Dude, for sure. So this might be kind of long, but I mean, I can dive in.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start, you know, from the beginning. So I was raised in a sports family, like legacy sports family. So my grandpa was my high school coach, football coach. He had coached for 40 years. He's retired now, but he's got the most wins in Washington State history. My dad was a pro basketball player, played at San Diego State. Both of my cousins are like top D1 college football players. Like my cousin Cade, he's about to get drafted next year. He's like a top 3 tight end in the nation. You know, my mom was the volleyball coach. My grandma worked at the office. So I kind of grew up in this family where like I had this subconscious pressure to be this like perfect golden boy quarterback type kid, you know? So I grew up with that mindset, and, you know, I played all the sports, and I loved it. But like in the back of my mind, I just always had this yearning to kind of carve my own path and do my own thing. But I still continued to play sports. I ended up playing collegiately. But I remember I was in like eighth grade because I saw, and I didn't come from money. You know, my mom was a teacher raising two kids on like, you know, $30,000 teacher salary. So we didn't come from money. So I remember in like, I think it was like eighth grade, I was around 13. And I was like, man, like, how is everyone just trading their time for money? Like, I saw my friend's parents like going to work and they just, you know, they weren't happy. And I was like, there's got to be another way. So I literally went online and, you know, typical entrepreneur story, but I Googled how to make money online. And I was a 13-year-old kid.
Yep.
And yeah, man, that's how it starts. And I stumbled on this internet marketing forum called Black Hat World. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of like how Money Twitter is now, where everyone kind of shares their methods and ideas for online marketing. And stumbled upon a thread talking about like owning Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts and how you could actually just repost content, build an audience, and then charge for shoutouts. So I was like, wait, this sounds interesting. Because I was into MySpace and all like Tumblr and all that shit back in the day.
Yep.
So I was like, I can do this. So I got my first account. It was like a Jimmy Neutron parody account. I grew that thing, sold it, bought another account. And I just started building this Twitter network. And then I became this like middleman where I had a party of buyers and a party of sellers. And I would kind of connect them and take a fee. And I was this like little high school kid, you know, doing this stuff online. And I didn't really tell anyone. I was kind of low key about it. Sorry, this is getting long. But eventually what happened was, after the Twitter stuff, I've noticed that a lot of players in that game were creating e-commerce brands to like, you know, push their network. So I had this Twitter network and I was like, oh, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to figure this out. So this was 2014, I believe. So this is when Shopify was first popping off. So I built a Shopify store. I sourced, I found this bamboo manufacturer over in China because the idea was floating sunglasses. It was going to be a floating sunglasses brand.
Floating.
Yeah. So like I was like near lakes and I noticed that like my sunglasses would come off when I was like on the boat or something and they would just fall. They would sink to the bottom. So I was like, yo, there has to be floating sunglasses.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sunglasses. Thought you meant like floating, just sitting here, like with no eyepiece.
No, no. Like that makes, waters.
Yeah, that yeah. makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, man. So I was like, dude, I'm gonna try to make this happen. Hit up the bamboo manufacturer. I was like, can you make me some bamboo sunglass frames? They're like, yeah, we'll give it a shot. They literally sent me a photo of it like in a sink. And they're like, they float. I'm like, all right. I ordered some. I started marketing. I made my logo and everything. And I called it Beach Bum Outfitters. Mm. And so this is my senior summer going into college. And I just started marketing. You know, this is back in the day where you could do like follow and follow on Instagram and just follow like thousands of accounts and there was no bans or anything. So I was getting all these sales, spending no money. And now I'm in college. This business is growing. I'm packaging orders from my garage, you know, and just like trying to play college football at the same time, keep perfect grades. And it just became chaos, man. I couldn't handle it. I was spread too thin. And I ended up selling the business. And so I put it up for sale because on Shopify, there's like a marketplace where you can put your business up for sale. And they featured it in their newsletter, man, which had like millions of subscribers. So I had hundreds of messages of people trying to buy the brand and finally found a buyer. They bought 60% of it. And so I was going to be a 40% silent partner. And so I was like on top of the world. I thought I was going to be this 18-year-old kid, like, you know, just getting fat royalty checks, doing absolutely nothing. They promised all this hyper growth and they did nothing with it. Ended up being a goose egg. I started making rash decisions. Like I bought a car, I was traveling and all this stuff. And that's the lesson I learned is like, I thought that tomorrow's income was going to fund this lifestyle and it never came. Mm. And yeah, man, I just kind of spiraled into this thing where I quit football. My girlfriend of like 4 years back in high school, she left me. Both my grandparents died like in a span of 3 months, man. So I was just like, everything my identity was rooted in was completely, completely gone. Like, and so this is back to your first question of like rock bottom. Mm-hmm. This was it. Cause you know, football was gone. My business was gone. My girlfriend was gone. Like all this stuff happened all at once. And I kind of just had an identity crisis. I was like, who am I? Like, what am I going to do next? You know, and I ended up moving back home and I had been doing no business stuff online. I was just like, you know, I was just in such a funk, man. And that's when I found, like, it sounds cheesy again, but this is, I found the secret. Have you heard of that? It's like the law of attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. People have told me to read it. I haven't read it yet. I would say, like, from what I've heard, it sounds like some people's version of The Power of Now for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's similar. Yeah. It's like a really good initiative into this whole like spiritual stuff. Mm. And so, yeah, so I was just at rock bottom. I had no other choice, man. I was like, what do I need to do to figure this out? And I stumbled upon law of attraction, and then that led into, you know, I started to meditate and really like take care of my mind and, you know, started working on, I went inward, if you will, and started working on, you know, my mindset and the inner work. And then, you know, I started seeing my outer work change as a result of that. And so that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, taking care of your mind and destigmatizing mental health, because it truly saved me, man. So yeah, that's kind of the story of, you know, my past, and now we're here. So it was a little long, but yeah.
No, that dude, that's perfect. I love the long ones because that's what these are for, right? There's only so much you can say on Twitter. There's only so much you can say even in like a blog post, but here it's like, you can sense their voice. You can like, even the little pauses, the ums, the likes, it gives detail to what you're actually saying. So that's
true.
An insane story. And I feel like it's a good lead into the shirt you're wearing for the people that are watching on YouTube, Mindful Society. So is that what sparked the creation of that? You already had some e-commerce knowledge, like you knew what to do, and this was your next project, or how did that go?
Yeah, exactly, man. So yeah, so like I said, you know, like meditation and getting introduced to this world of spirituality, if you want to call it that, it just changed my life, man. And before that, you know, I thought, oh, people who meditate are just like weird hippies, like it's very woo-woo and, you know, all that. And I think a lot of people have that mindset. And so the idea behind the brand is to kind of demystify that stuff through like, you know, hip, cool, stylish clothing and like a community that I'm building. Because I noticed that, like, you know, there's these yoga brands that have the cheesy sayings and stuff, but it's still very like cheesy yoga vibes. There's not really like a mainstream, like, you know, streetwear type brand that is doing something like this. And the other thing was, you know, I had got into drop shipping a little bit and stuff like that. And at, you know, I just came to the conclusion that it was just a money grab, man. Like, I'm selling these third party products from China that I don't care about at all. And it's literally just to make money. Like, that's it. And so once this idea, you know, kind of sparked in my head, I was like, this is it. Like, this is purposeful. It's fulfilling. I feel like I'm giving back. I'm actually changing lives in the process. And it's not just a product or a store to make money. It like feels good to my soul. And so, yeah, I just doubled down and, you know, trying to build it. It's still like a side hustle, baby, but, you know, I'm excited about it, man. So yeah, that's kind of what sparked it.
Yeah. Dude, it's back to what Russ was saying. Like, I, as somewhat of a marketer, I would call myself a marketer. Like, I can see it going big. Like, I bought a shirt from you. I still have it. I still wear it. It's a great shirt. And like, I vibe very heavy with the message. Like, I've noticed it kind of sucks that we have to do this, but when we say something like spirituality and we have to preface it with like, if you're into that kind of stuff or et cetera, et cetera, yeah, because it's so powerful. Like, it sounds cheesy or cliche, when in reality, I think spirituality is one of the most practical ways of receiving that kind of advice. I guess it's dependent on the person. It's like how they receive that message, because almost everyone that has a big brand and posts on social media, it's a lot of cliche stuff because it's true and they've lived through it, but they all have their own way of saying it. And so some people say it in a very spiritual and like mystic way. Some people are very harsh and polarizing about it. And then others are, you know, there's a spectrum there, but
yep.
That's the 100%. Thing, man. Like, yeah, you're going to attract the people that vibe with your message and build that community. And they're going to feed off of each other's energy. And it's going to be absolutely amazing because you're doing something positive for the world. Right.
Dude, hell yeah. I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate the support, too. And bro, the next time you buy something, it's going to be way better. Like, that was in a position where I didn't have like custom neck labels or any of that. So like, we're really going to ramp it up and it's going to be more legit this next time.
Hell so, yeah. Dude, let me know when that happens. I'll plug it. I'll buy it. I'm excited. Awesome, I'm a big fan of the brand. Of course, I said before, like, your photography too. It's fucking amazing. So
yeah, thank you.
I have somewhat of a similar story too with drop shipping and then transitioning. So
I want to hear it, dude.
Yeah, I started with I drop shipped rave clothing because I would go to like festivals and stuff. But I'm like, I see other people doing it. Like, I see iHeart Raves, all the other big brands, and it's just like they're selling women's apparel, like glowy bras and stuff like that. Yeah. So like, I can do this. I looked on AliExpress. There's a ton of them. Hooked it up to like Oberlo or whatever it was called. Hooked it up to Oberlo, so it's automatically in there. And then I did the same thing, or I did something similar where I paid for Instagram promotions on like rave pages and ran some ads. I got like one sale, but it felt terrible, man, because the thing that they ordered looked nothing like the picture.
Yeah, it took probably 3 weeks, huh? Or a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Especially, yeah, to get to them. And so after that, I just felt terrible, man, for doing something that I didn't really believe in, or the product just wasn't great and I had no control over that. So I was learning, or I was in web development at the time. So I'd been learning to code. I'd been following so many developer pages. I'm like, I like this niche in a sense. Yeah, like, I'm very passionate about this niche, and something that I could sell was blue light glasses. And so I went to an actual manufacturer, like customized them. They look sick, ordered a bunch, tried to sell, lost a lot of money because my marketing was off. That is when I write like out my story, whether in a blog post or a landing page or something, it always has to do with the amount of money I lost in that, and that I borrowed from my dad and just couldn't handle it. And
wow, dude, that's so cool. Wow. Yeah.
And so very similar story there. And
would you say that was kind of like your rock bottom, that pivotal moment?
That was like second rock bottom. The first one was when it was freshman year of college. My buddies and I went up. Oh, this could be a story. Okay. So my roommate at the time that I first moved in with, right when we get into the dorms, his girlfriend broke up with him one night because long distance, he was from another state. He was like out of state tuition and stuff like that. And he got broken up with. Our suite mate, who is connected by the bathroom, came in, talked to us. And then for some reason, the guy that the girl was seeing, so he was getting cheated on. A lot of backstory there. But he called my roommate. He called my roommate and he's like, hey, this is just how it happens. Like, you got to stop thinking about it. It's over. Go smoke some weed and you'll be fine. And so I know it was kind of brutal. And I'm just sitting there like, what is happening right now, man? And he goes over to my suite mate, buys some weed. So he listens to the guy's advice. We go to like the school parking garage across the street, go to the very top. In my car, there's like four of us there. We hotbox the car.
Yes, bro.
And just out of nowhere, a bicycle cop, not like a bike cop, but a bicycle cop shows up behind us, knocks on the window. We look over and are just like, no fucking way. Like, how does this happen right now? And so we got taken out of the car, sat down, put in handcuffs. We each got individually taken back to tell our story of what happened. And so since it was like my piece and his weed, us two got taken to the station and booked, and then the other two got to go home. So we got booked, only stayed there for like an hour. Like, they took our fingerprints, they gave us a long talk about why we shouldn't be doing this, and then sent us back home. And I thought it was over at that point. And so like 6 months goes by, I'm back home for the summer working my lifeguarding job. And I come home one day, check the mail,
Thankfully, I checked the mail instead of my parents. I checked the mail, pull out a letter from me from the court saying that I either have to show up and risk getting a felony or pay like $5,000 for this program where I have to go every week, pee in a cup, and do all this other stuff. So I'm like, I don't
have.
Yeah, I was in a freshman in college, didn't have a job. I'm like, I don't have $5,000. How am I going to do this? And I started freaking out and like was worried my parents were going to find out. And like everything went to shit there. Like I was in my mind a lot. And at the time I was very into the gym. So that was a good thing. That's what I could like go and ease my stress with. Yeah. And I was watching this guy on YouTube, Matt Ogus, who is like an OG in the fitness industry. He was big around the time that I was watching all this stuff.
You talking about him in one of your other episodes, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like one of the people that I attribute a lot of my progress in life to, just because he was a great role model online. And he recommended the book, The Power of Now. And so I read through that book. Like I read it with an open mind because it can sound very woo-woo. And so I took the insights that resonated with me, started practicing them. And like over the next week, I just felt fine. I'm like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'll handle this when I get to it. And I learned the power of actually being mindful. And this is why your brand resonates so much with me, is because I understand the power and the message that you're promoting. And it kind of just went from there. And I've reread that book like 3 times. I always recommend it to other people. And that's where like my main rock bottom was. And so when the second rock bottom came, when I did all of that e-commerce stuff, it was easier to get out of. It was more so like I called my dad, let him know what was going on. He gave me some advice. I sat with it for a bit. And then eventually I'm like, okay, this is just a bump in the road. We're good. Keep on moving. And
dude,
that's the start of it all.
Bro, that is beautiful, man. Holy shit. Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer that like, dude, you really have to experience the dark to appreciate the light, man. Like, I feel like everyone, I don't know if you've heard of like the hero's journey, but I feel like everyone who's, you know, in a position, you know, like in life went through something that, you know, just knocked them down, dude, like to the knees, and they had no other choice but to, you know, dive inward and, you know, really figure it out. So the dude, that's wow. That's insane. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And I kind of, I feel like this would be good, 'cause I want to get into like your photography and especially like what happened yesterday with the NFT stuff. Like I saw a few updates on that. I'm off of Twitter like a lot. I've been way offline, but I saw it and I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Dude, but it's insane. It's insane.
So before we get into that, I want to ask, does your artwork, do you, when you're editing and you're actually shooting the photos and planning the composition and all of that stuff, does your messaging from Mindful Society or just like your values show to you in those artwork, in that artwork?
I think, yeah, man, I think partly for sure. I think what I try to do, at least with my editing style, is it's very like vibrant and uplifting. And that's kind of the message that I want people to get when they like view one of my photos. It's like, oh wow, like this makes me feel better. Like it's just like a pop of color in someone's life. And I guess that's, yeah, I guess that kind of relates to the brand, because, you know, I want people to get the message that, you know, they can chase their passion and live vibrantly and fully, you know? And so, yeah, man, I think it definitely shows through. And also with like Instagram, I always try to like put a heartfelt caption underneath my photos. So that's another part of it. But yeah, man, it's just crazy what's going on. Like photography has always been like, you know, just a passion and a love. It's never been a thing. I didn't see a future where it could really create like real wealth for me. So it was always just like, you know, something I love to do and something that I inspired people through, but I never thought that I would make like real money from this stuff. And so now it's just like, Dude, I can't, it still feels surreal this last week. It's just been, it's been so nutty, man. And it's so cool that, you know, these creators who have felt like the pressure of trying to exist in this expensive world and like, you know, work jobs that they don't enjoy now have this opportunity to, you know, make an actual serious living off of their creativity. It's just, it's amazing, man. So I'm just, it's crazy what's going down, and I'm excited to see what happens.
That's awesome, man. Let's dive into that. What?
Yeah.
So I'm very out of the loop. I posted yesterday about like getting someone on the podcast to talk about like NFTs, DeFi, crypto, all that stuff. And I got a few other people. So I think it'll be like a cool little series, and we can start it off here. So like what,
solid.
What's the process with that? Like how can you monetize a JPEG?
Yeah, for sure.
Per se.
Yeah, I guess first I'll kind of explain what it is. And I'm still a newbie. I'm still learning too, but I've been doing deep dives for, you know, probably a month now into this stuff. And I'll first start by explaining like an NFT, think of it as a digital collectible. So it's basically, it's all about ownership, right? And like the whole argument is like, oh, but I can just right click it and save it. Now it's mine. It's on my phone. And I always say like, this is another cliche response, but it's like, okay, you can also walk in, take a photo of the Mona Lisa, and just because it's on your phone doesn't mean that you have the rights to it. Only that one person who actually owns the real painting can sell it for millions of dollars. And so that's kind of like the comparison that I draw with NFTs is like, yeah, you can save the photo, but the person who has the rights to it on the blockchain is the only one that can actually sell it or retain the value of that collectible. So that's kind of how I like to explain it. And it's kind of like a logo. Like, you know, you can have a picture of a logo, but only Coca-Cola has the rights to their logo because, you know, they have ownership of it. So NFTs are allowing people to have ownership, digital ownership of, you know, photos, paintings, comics, all this stuff, man. There's, you know, there's NBA, Top Shop, like cards and all this stuff. So it's just, it's insane. And so, yeah,
oh, wow.
Dude, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This is it. But the crazier thing is, so OpenSea is like the main platform with this. It's pretty much like the Amazon of NFTs. Man, they only have 190,000 active users. That's it. So that's how early this is. And, you know, I've been getting all these DMs like, oh, I feel like I'm too late. And I'm like, dude, they have 190K active users. You are early, my friend. Like, this is just the beginning. I think, you know, you never know with this stuff, but it seems like we're early. And so, yeah, man, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I just kind of went on a rant. What was your original question?
That was it, man. Like how do you monetize it in a sense? But like what, so I can already see how this is going to open up like a lot of shit. Like what you mentioned the like NBA tradables or something. Do you think like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh will make a comeback?
Dude, I think so, man. I think so.
That'd be sweet.
It'd be cool. But yeah, the crazy part about the NBA stuff is they're selling like moments too now. So it's called NBA Top Shot. So they sell like, it's like a little clip. It's like a video. So they'll sell like, you know, let's say, you remember that DeAndre Jordan dunk where it was just fucking, where he banged on Brandon Knight and it was just like the craziest poster of all time?
Yeah. You know?
So they're selling that video as a moment on the blockchain. So like some NBA fanatic can own that moment and say that it's theirs, basically. It's insane, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is weird. So like I'm saying this from my perspective, like what else is monetizable? Because like are tweets eventually going to be monetizable? Like I'm sure Instagram posts can because they're pictures and like,
yeah,
for example, I mean,
yeah, people are already selling like screenshots of tweets and
really,
you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Like Hunter Weiss, I don't know, you know, Hunter, right? In like the Twitter game, dude. So he sold an NFT that was literally a graphic saying, don't buy this NFT. And it sold for like $1,000 or something. I don't know the price.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. People are just throwing Ethereum around like it's monopoly money. It's absurd.
Damn. Dude, I have some old pictures in the archives of when I used to do
Okay.
Like editing. It was like Photoshop manipulations. And that's always something I've wanted to get back into, but minimal time right now. But it's cool to see all this happening and creators, especially. I follow a ton of like 3D modelers, if you want to call it that. Like they make the landscapes in 3D and it's just surreal, man. It's insane to see. And I feel like those will go for a lot, but that's really cool.
Yeah. You should get back into it, man. Like we're in a time, cause I feel like maybe you were like me where you kind of thought like, oh, I don't know if this will ever yield like financial results. So you kind of like got interested in other things. That's what happened to me for a while. Like I used to shoot every single day, man. And then I got like really business focused and was like, oh, like I shouldn't spend my time on this. And I kind of lost it for a little bit. And it wasn't until like, you know, recently where I was like, wow, man, like I can get back into this and like really enjoy it again. And yeah, so I don't know. I'd say go for it if you can, but you're already doing so much and you're crushing it. So like it might just be fun for you. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? It'd definitely be fun to get back into. But so Bali Bliss, tell me like the story behind all of that.
Yeah. So that was actually my second collection, dude. So I've had two collections sell out this month so far, which is nuts, bro. And this sounds crazy to say, but dude, I've made $15,000 this month off of selling my photos. Like it just, it doesn't even sound right coming out of my lips, you know, like it's just insane.
Congrats, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Thank you, bro. It's crazy. But like, you know, Hunter sold one photo for 15 grand. You know,
I saw
like
that. That's dude, nuts.
It's insane, bro. But yeah, so Bali Bliss is my second collection. The first one was called California Palms. So it was just all of my photos of like palm trees in California, kind of with my editing style. And yeah, I was just always like drawn to Southern California and the ocean and the palm trees and just like the energy here. And I've been living here for 3 years and I think it's really like been a catalyst for, you know, who I am and, you know, how I've grown is this place, San Diego, California. So I put that out there. That one sold out and I priced it pretty cheap. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to build, you know, I have some momentum now. I'm going to up the price and see what happens. And so I went to Bali in 2018. I was there for 3 months. Most magical place on earth, man. Like it's hard to describe. Like there's just this energy there. The food's amazing. The locals are incredible. Like there's good surf all year round, everywhere on the island. Like it's just crazy, man. And so I was there for 3 months and it was life changing. It was a life altering experience. And, you know, I would just go around and adventure and do all these crazy hikes and pretty much took photos the whole time I was there. And so I was like, all right, I'm sitting on all this content that means, you know, the world to me. So I'm going to put this into collection. I'm going to call it Bali Bliss. And I went through all my old photos and kind of re-edited them in, you know, my current style because I've gained some editing skills since then. So I kind of re-edited them with a new perspective, you know, figured out how to upload them to OpenSea. Created, you know, some artwork for it, like, you know, like a banner image and all that. And I've just been, you know, interacting on Twitter with the NFT community. And, you know, I saw all these big collectors start to follow me and just getting all these DMs. They're like, yo, I want more. When are you releasing a collection? Like, I want to buy one. So I was like, holy shit, the demand's there. And I hyped it up a bit, put a date, dropped it on Twitter, and it sold out in 30 minutes, man. And I was just refreshing my MetaMask and it was going up by the thousands, dude. And I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And 30 minutes later, it completely sold out. And yeah, man. And now I get 10% of royalties too on secondary sales. So it's mind-blowing. Wow. It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
That is mind-blowing. Holy shit. That's awesome. Big congrats, man. But
thank you, bro.
That's nuts, man. So one thing that I want to talk about that I think you have a good perspective on, because I read one of your tweets a while ago. I found it earlier today, and it's to do with your girlfriend. So what I love most about my girl, she calls me out on my bullshit. Jay, you said you'd hold. Why the fuck didn't you sell before the top? Jay, you said you'd meditate daily. Get on it. Most guys want a submissive girl who has no opinion. Mine pushes me to be my best self. Phew. I agree. I love that. Dude. And I feel like there's a big stigma, or at least it used to be, maybe I've blocked it out a lot, but the manosphere, like having their polarizing opinions on, and like just pretty much telling you like how you should live your life and the girls you should choose. And I've read some books that have kind of challenged that because the masculine and feminine dynamic there. But do you have thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that in terms of people telling you how to treat your relationship? Because I've seen just online, like some people turn very cold because of that advice, and they ruin either their future chances or their current relationships, which they actually enjoyed. And I mean, I'm someone who fell into this trap as well. Like when I was in a relationship and I'd be reading these, it's like, oh fuck, should I actually be doing this? Should I dislike this part about my relationship when I genuinely enjoyed it? And it gets in your mind and it fucks with you. So what are...
Dude, bro, I feel this so hard, man. I think it's sad, man. Cause like there's all these like big, you know, macho, like manly Twitter guys. And there's so many people who like quote unquote look up to them and basically take anything they say like completely literally. And, you know, I fell in that trap too for a little bit. It's like, I would literally be going throughout my day and I'd be like, oh, is this based or not? And I was just like, what the, what are you doing, bro? Like, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, people are like, oh, that's not based, that's soy, like whatever. And so I went through a small little phase where like, it was actually affecting me. And I was like, yo, this, what am I doing, bro? This is just Twitter. And I started to block it out and I was like, what do I like? What do I genuinely enjoy in my life? And if I genuinely enjoy it, I'm going to do it. Like, I don't care if, you know, Chad says this, like, you know what I mean? Like, and as far as the relationship goes, like, yeah, I feel like on Twitter, I just noticed that a lot of these guys were, you know, they're talking about like pogs and how they should do everything for you and, you know, just be submissive. And, you know, like if you're an entrepreneur, you should have a girl who like doesn't talk or is just there. I'm like, that's not me, bro. Like I want a girl who's on the same wavelength as me, someone who has similar goals, someone who lifts me up and pushes me when I'm down. And like, you know, is someone who I can grow with and not just like, you know, treat them as just a girl, I guess, if that makes sense. And so that's what, dude, I love my girlfriend because she, dude, she's awesome. She's like an organizer. She's all about like spreadsheets and schedules. And I'm just like a very go with the flow guy. Mm. And so it's tough. Like I've never been good with like numbers or planning or any of that. And so she kind of balances that out. And I know you're a huge organizer guy. So I wanted to pick your brain on that, dude, because I know that you're super calculated with that. And I've never been that way. I've just always been like, go with the flow, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I really want to start developing that for myself. But yeah, dude, I think that I found a girl who's actually like going to push me and I'm okay with that. Like, I don't need her to be submissive all the time. Like, I don't need her to just kind of be there. Like, I want her to grow with me and I want her to, you know, have the same goals and visions. And I think she does. And I think that feels better, at least for me. You know, everyone's journey is different, but that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, dude, that's one thing I found out the hard way is I used to think that not even life, but my views were very hard set on like everything being formulaic. Like, like there is a specific way that every single person has to live. Like, if you don't live by these values, then you're doing something wrong. And like, it's just not true, man. Like, everyone is different. Everyone, the thing about this is that everyone, like, I'm sure you've heard like the term conditioning, like how we're all conditioned, like our subconscious picks up literally everything throughout our entire lives. And for me or others to think that we are all the same, like our thought processes are the same, like we should have the same values, we should have the same way of life, we should do X, Y, Z to see success, it just doesn't make any sense because everyone has their own unique perspective on things. We all have the ability to see that success, but every single one of our paths are going to be different.
Yes.
Every single one. Like they may be very similar, but there's a turn here. Like we have the similarity of hitting that rock bottom around the time where we were doing drop shipping in e-commerce stores and we read like a mindfulness book or something that sparked us there, but now we're on completely different paths. Like I'm on like a marketing-ish / self-improvement podcasting path. You're on the photography, now NFTs and e-commerce path. And that's the beautiful thing about this all and why I love this entire NFT crypto DeFi, specifically NFT, is because it's giving more routes to monetization to allow people to do what they enjoy. Because that's one thing that I would recommend a lot of people is like, pay attention to what you're actually pursuing and make sure that there is some way to monetize it down the road if you want to continue doing that for life, because your time will get consumed doing other things. And now that there is a legitimate like path to monetizing creative work without the marketing side of things, marketing still plays a role, but like rather than selling a course and getting the copyright and the ads right and all of that other stuff, it seems like there's a very straightforward way to do this while the creator can focus solely on their craft as opposed to learning another craft and trying to combine those and sacrificing some of the quality or creativity that's in their work to mold to whatever marketing frame you have to mold to.
Yes. Right? Dude, so, yeah. No, spot on. Yeah. No, it's so exciting because, like I said before, you know, there was all this pressure to, you know, do things that you don't enjoy just to like get by or, you know, try to fit in with society because, you know, people don't think photos can take you anywhere. Like I remember, you know, shooting photos and spending time on that and people would be like, oh, why do you spend so much time on that? And now it's like, this shit's happening. Like it's insane, man. And I'm just, I'm stoked for creators to finally be heard and finally, you know, have people appreciate their work. And the other thing is there is a learning curve to figure out, you know, the back end of how to set up your MetaMask and Ethereum and all that. So I'm sure it's pretty overwhelming to people who haven't really dove into crypto at all. But once you're over that hump, man, I think it's all about just being yourself. Like what I started doing was just engaging on Twitter in the community. Like I would just follow photographers that I liked, that I genuinely liked. And I would, you know, comment, hey, great set, man. Or, you know, this photo's sick. And I would, you know, tap into Twitter spaces, hit people up in the DMs, like just having the courage to operate in a community. And that created all these opportunities for myself. And it's just a cycle, man. Like I truly believe whatever you put in will come back. And, you know, it's just a matter of putting yourself out there. And I think a lot of people don't have that courage to do that. And that's kind of the message behind the new hoodie drop. It's kind of like this, but it says consume and it's crossed out. And underneath it says create. And that's kind of like the message is like, I believe everyone has this innate skill or this innate talent or passion that they can share with the world. But so many of us are, you know, we're scared to put it out there and we just consume all day. We just scroll all day. And I don't think people really understand that you can be on the other side of the coin. Like you can be that creator. You can be someone who's creating that content that others are consuming. Like you don't have to just be a consumer in this world. You can actually be the one who puts out the content or puts out the e-commerce store or makes a YouTube video. Like I just think a lot of people don't understand how accessible that is. And that's kind of the message behind the hoodie. So yeah, man, it's a cool time and I'm just excited to be in this space right now. It's freaking crazy, man.
It is. Dude, I love all the opportunity that's showing up. It's like mind blowing and it makes me want to drop everything and like not start fresh. I don't think I'd ever drop Modern Master. I love this too much. Like it's awesome, like bro. My passion project, but I wish I could drop everything in terms of workload to start fresh there. And somehow, I don't know. It's just crazy because I want to hop on everything and I can't. It's like I got to focus on what's going to bring the most impact.
Dude, that's probably my biggest like Achilles heel. What's the word for like biggest flaw, I guess, is like shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Like I'm just such a curious individual. Like if I see something that like I'm excited about, I just like chase it, which is kind of bad. Like it's a double-edged sword, you know, like, because if I wouldn't have hopped on this NFT wave and just like said, oh, I need to do just my e-commerce right now, like none of this would have happened. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like I really need to dial in my focus. But I think I'm getting to a point where there's a few things that I'm really stoked about and that I'm going to, you know, nothing else can really distract me from those. So I think I'm finally getting to a place where I'm not super spread thin and just like chasing everything. And that's a big thing. I feel like I like a lot of your tweets that say like stick to something for, you know, X amount of months, because especially now there's so much information, so many ways to make money online. And there's just like, what do I do? How do I choose this? And people will, you know, they'll start a venture and, you know, 2 weeks with no success, and then they stop and go on to something else. And it's just this wheel, this never ending wheel that never yields results. And so I really like those tweets about, if you have something that you're passionate about, stick to it for, you know, whatever it, you know, a longer time, and eventually it'll happen, or it doesn't, then you can move on. But don't just like bounce from project to project, because that never really works.
Yeah. Well, I have a kind of differing opinion on that, because tell me if this is true for you. So, and I don't know if I'd call this shiny object syndrome, but like pursuing your curiosities, we know, is important. That's what led to all of this, just being curious, learning, and executing on it. And the thing is if we stop that curiosity pursuit, like we wouldn't find the intersections. Like I'm sure if you were to chase something, like maybe, you don't have to listen to this, maybe NFTs or just like some form of creative work can go into the messaging behind your Mindful Society brand, right? Because the create, like you could, you could already see that playing a role, right?
Yeah, dude.
And so that's the thing, is like I hopped fucking from everywhere, man. It's like for the whole drop shipping and e-commerce stuff, I learned a little bit about ads. It like sparked the marketing journey, and I started learning direct response and like human psychology in a sense. And then landing page or web design, I learned some design principles when I was editing in Photoshop and doing the Photoshop manipulations. It's like I'm learning these skills that complement each other. And what I've realized is that without all of those like switches, I guess you could say, I wouldn't be able to make this. I wouldn't, this is menial, but I wouldn't have this background, because I wouldn't understand the, just, you know, being able, like wanting
focal length and all that shit.
Yeah. And wanting have like a well-designed background, or even just being able to create assets for my brand, like ebook covers in Photoshop or like course materials in Photoshop.
Using the Monistrat Extra Bold there, huh?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep. That's my font, man.
See, that's the thing,
bro. I would have never found that font.
Yeah, like I know that, because I did the same thing. Like if you do these projects, you become the designer, the, you know, the CEO, the logistics handler, the web developer, like all of it, bro. Like you have to. And so, I actually agree with that, you know, perspective, because that's true, man. Like all of these random little nuances that I've done in business has culminated into the skills that I have today. And so, I always say, like, you know, if it looks like a failure on paper, it's never really a failure, because you're always learning, man. Like you can take at least something from, you know, everything that you do and you put energy into, you're going to learn something. So yeah, man, I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like the shiny object syndrome. Like it's, I would say that shiny object syndrome slows you down, but ultimately it's probably beneficial for what you're doing, because it gives you that fresh perspective. Like you can do more things. Like that's your USP in a sense, is your culmination of experiences that set you apart from others. So like when I was doing web design, and like I had copywriting knowledge and the other person don't, but they're very good at design, but I'm very good at pulling in sales, then it's like there's the difference right there, and it's dependent on who they're going to hire. And that's the main thing, man. It's the same with Twitter or like Instagram or any social media in the creative or marketing realm. That's their USP. It's like, how do they put the message across? how do they, what's the little nuances in their art that makes it pop so much? What's the little nuances in their copy that makes it resonate with you so much? Is because they've gone through those experiences, and everyone has that shiny object syndrome. But overall, definitely good to commit to one loose path. I would say a loose path, and then learn complementary skills within that. Because that's, and there are complementary skills everywhere. But like, yeah, it's really dependent on what you want to do.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. And I think a lot of people get value from this, like, you know, especially in the money Twitter side of things, because I feel like a lot of dudes struggle with that. Is like, you know, the shiny object stuff, or like, you know, where do I go? How do I choose what to do? And yeah, I think people will resonate with this. So
yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to know how, I probably know the answer, but how did you initially get into photography? Because I feel like you told me a bit about how you got into the whole e-commerce thing and where that all started, Black Hat World, et cetera, and moving up that ladder. But where did you learn photography, and what's the progression of that?
So I picked up a camera after my first trip. My first international trip was to Thailand. And so this was my, when was this? Freshman year of college, I believe. 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. But I went to Thailand for a month, and I brought like my little GoPro. It wasn't really, I wasn't a photographer yet. I was kind of just like, you know, video recording or like documenting the trip. And when I got there, dude, like my whole perspective, just my worldview just completely changed. I was like, whoa, like this is insane. Like these places actually exist in real life. Like I was on these limestone cliffs and these crazy beaches and stuff. And, you know, being from Washington State, like I was super, I guess I just didn't understand like how much there is out in the world and like how beautiful it is. And like, there's a whole nother world out there, you know? And I think so many people just stay in their corner of the earth and don't really go experience it. And so when I did that firsthand, I was like, dude, I have to share this with the world. Like, I want to tell these stories about these places. I want to, you know, inspire people to get outside of their comfort zone and go experience life, because it's so short. Like, why wouldn't we go try to see everywhere? That's my perspective, at least. And so that's when I picked up a camera. I was like, I'm just going to start adventuring around and like showing everyone how beautiful the world is. And that's kind of how it started. And this was back when there was no like travel Instagrammers or like, you know, influencers or any of that. Like it was just, I was just trying to, you know, share my photography. And I got a few of my photos got picked up by like EarthPix and Best Vacations and all these huge accounts. And so they reposted a few of my photos, and that's how I gained my initial audience. And so I was getting all these followers. I mean, not a ton, but you know, I was at like 10K or something like that. And I was like, wow, people actually like this stuff. And I'm putting like inspiring messages underneath the photos, and people started to, you know, resonate with it. So I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like, I'm not making money from it, but I really enjoy this. So I'm going to keep doing it. And yeah, man, I would just get on YouTube and look up editing tutorials. And that, I've always been that way. It's like, if someone else can edit like this, so can I. Like, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And I would just dive into YouTube and watch hours and hours of Lightroom tutorials. And yeah, just the more I shot, the more I developed my craft. And you know, now I've kind of created this style that where you see one of my photos, it's kind of like, oh, like he took that. Like, I think I've finally gotten to a point where I've developed this like editing style, which is very vibrant and very colorful. And I feel like it's me. Like it's, I don't know if anyone else could replicate how I edit now, because I've just finally developed like my own style. I don't know if that's true. But yeah, man, so that's kind of how it happened. And after that, yeah, like I said, I went to Bali. I lived in Hawaii for 6 months, went to Jamaica. I just started traveling around and sharing my experiences, and just got better and better behind the lens. And yeah, so that's kind of how I went down.
Awesome, man. I have the same story. It's always like the self-education thing where it's like someone else is doing this. I know I can do it too. It's just a matter of finding something I can go off of and then practicing enough. And dude, I don't know if you were the same, but my first like month in Photoshop, I was lost. It's like, I have no idea what's going on here. And it's so easy to be like, I'm never going to learn this. Look at all these buttons and all this like things you can do. And then all of a sudden, like one day you copy enough tutorials, like you follow along and then it just makes sense. You're like, oh, it all comes down to like this, this, and this. And then good to go.
That's the biggest thing is like the learning curves. Like I feel like so many people look at things like, oh, this is scary. Like how am I going to figure this out? Like even with the NFT stuff, like, oh my God, I have to sign up for MetaMask and what's Ethereum. But it's really like a month long learning curve. Like, you know, once you understand the basic principles, it becomes way less scary, I guess. And it's, you know, it's way less overwhelming. And so I think if people just push through that initial pain of like kind of sucking ass, you know, like you just, like my first few photos were terrible, man. Just god awful. You know what I mean? And so I think the difference is just pushing through that part of the process and knowing that if, you know, you put the time in, you're going to eventually, you know, be better than average. And that's when you start winning, I guess.
That's really it.
Yeah.
I found this out on the last podcast, I believe. Oh, with Joey. It was yesterday. I don't know why I had never heard of first principles before. I still haven't looked into it like enough, but there's like the concept of first principles. And
I haven't heard it either.
Okay, good. Because I've started like, I'm outlining a book that I want to write and it'll take like 1 to 2 years. Yeah, I'm very excited for it. Like it's pretty much just everything I'm learning and I've structured it to a point where like I'm creating content off of that now. And like my experience with these different concepts that I'm trying to present in a consumable way. So it's really weird. And I feel like I've hit some point where like I'm understanding all of this stuff now. And I started to label this concept that I had experienced as fundamentalism. So it's like,
oh, okay.
Learning or understanding the fundamentals or the basics or the first principles. If that, I still don't understand first principles enough, but that may fit into here. It's like, once you understand those things, that's like where the initial confidence is built in that area. And when it's time to, we lose perspective of what will actually get us results or what will calm us down or what will help our relationship or what will make us more money. And it's usually the fundamentals that we've already learned or what's going to create a good looking photo in Photoshop. It's like you have to understand the principles of design to an extent, composition, the basic Photoshop tools and like what you can actually do in there, which there's multiple different ways to do things, but it mostly comes down to like masking, selections, and then being able to change the colors inside of those and a few other things. But it's like when we lose perspective and overcomplicate things a lot, we have to regain it, bring it back to the fundamentals. And that's where the real progress happens. And that's what slows down people's progress too, is they lose sight of or focus of the fundamentals.
Yes. Wow, bro. Absolute gold. No, that's so true, man. Because I liked how you talked about the fundamentals of like calming down. Like it's, you just return to your breath, you know, but so many people overcomplicate it. Like, oh, I got to go do this and this and this. And I think that's something that really changed is like, you know, before I was very outwardly like, oh, well, I have to go do this and that. And like, what do I have to do to achieve this or whatever? And this is kind of like going off topic. But now I think my mindset is who is the person I have to become? It's not necessarily what do I have to do? It's like, how do I have to show up today as a person? Because, you know, those things that I want, I would already have if I was operating in that way, and, you know, as a human. So now I think my mindset has turned from, you know, outwardly like, oh, like chasing, you know, like, oh, I have to do this and go do that. And, you know, in order to get X, but now it's like, how do I have to show up today? And, you know, I'm going to deliver and be here as the best, you know, human I can be. And I think all these things are going to take care of themselves rather than like stressing about outwardly goals or accomplishments. I think I'm just more focused on like the person I am and how I'm developing as a human.
That's beautiful, man. Like I've noticed the same thing. It's necessary. It's necessary for like what we do, like any pillar of life, mind, body, relationship, spirit, whatever. It's like, what am I going to do today? Or yeah, what's in my control today that I can per se level up in these areas and bring my best self to them. Like one thing that stuck with me for a while, I forget who said it, but they were talking about going home to their wife or giving advice about people going home to their wife and their kids after a long day of work. You're stressed. It's very easy to just put things off. And it's like, sit in your car for 5 minutes and just think to yourself, who is the person you want to be when you walk into that room? Who is the person that is going to best be able to serve these people that you walk into? And I think that can translate into any area of life. Like me, before this podcast, I was in a good mood. But if I were in a bad mood, be like, who do I want to present to Brother Jay and the audience, right? And like, what's going to bring the most impact to you? How are you going to bring the most impact to me? And how are we going to spread both of our messages to the listeners of this podcast? And I think that's a huge fundamental in a lot of this mindfulness stuff too, is like
intentions, dude.
Exactly. Yes. That's the word.
Yes. Intentions. Yeah, man. I think you're probably a goal setter. I don't know, but I've been like on the opposite side of it, 'cause I don't really set goals, I guess, like in a number sense. I more so set intentions. So like,
I like that.
Instead of saying, you know, my goal is to hit 10,000 followers on Twitter, I just say my intention is to provide value, be authentic, you know, create optimism for people. And I think that 10,000 will take care of itself. Because from what I've noticed is like, when I set a number-based goal, you know, I arrive to the goal and it's like, okay, cool, now I'm going to set another one. And it's like, there's no real, I don't know, it just doesn't feel fulfilling, because it's so like, I don't know, at least for me, everyone's different, but when I chase a goal and then I hit it, it's like I immediately set another one and I never really relish in that. And so for me, I think it's more of just like setting broad intentions and creating micro goals, I guess, as I go. But I think that's how I've kind of framed it lately. I don't know.
Dude, I really like that. And I'm going to dabble with that a bit, because like I have my planner. We actually plan on launching another one, like Joey and I as a team, which will be really fun. But like, I've been looking for ways to make it better. And if like it's very goal heavy, it's very structure heavy, but being like the spiritual guy per se that I am, like I want to bake some of that into there. And that, like I'll have to try this out and like see what it brings, but maybe there's a combination of both, because you mentioned earlier about me being very structured.
Yeah.
It is like that, but it's mostly in the morning. Like, and it's again, playing to the individual and how like their strengths and how they do specific things. And it's like in the morning, if I'm spontaneous, I'm in a terrible mood, just to be quite honest. Like I know myself there.
I feel that. I actually feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
I have a routine too, but I try to stick to in the mornings, but yeah.
Right.
I feel you.
Right. Yeah. So before like 12, it's very structured. It's very methodical. It's like, I need to work on this, 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 and this. And then after 12 or after I hit the gym around that time, and that's like the separator. It's like structured gym, just not focused at all, like doing what comes to mind, possibly hammering out like tasks that don't need much focus, going out in the sun, you know, relaxing, resetting for the night or the next day, and then hitting it hard in the morning.
Yep.
So I think like even on a micro level for those tasks or those micro goals for the day, setting an intention with it possibly will, it's like, okay, I can track my progress with this specific goal, but at the same time, I need my focus to be here in the now with this intention. And
the goals. It's like helping you track progress. It's like in the gym. The gym kind of has to be very structured, and you have to track your progress so you know you're making progress like week after week. But the intention of going into the gym is not, I'm going to try and hit this number right now. It's like, I'm going to give it my best in a sense and like push the weight in the moment and not worry about the number that I hit. It's just there as a soft guideline of like, here's the progress you're making over time. And as any graph will show, whether it's weight loss, weight gain, muscle gain, money flowing into the bank, just progress in general, it's always a kind of up and down, but gradually up, right? So the intention along the way and focusing on the journey or enjoying the journey, I think would be key there. So,
dude, wow, bro, that's a perfect blend of it all. Like I said earlier, I'm trying to get on your game, like be more structured, be more organized. That sounds like just like a perfect mix of those two philosophies for sure, dude. I love it.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, we can both spin that, man. Like that's like, I have the structure and the goal. You gave me the intention idea. That's all you. And maybe we write a series of tweets on it and like our experiences. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, but I'm down, dude.
Hell yeah. But we're running close to the end. So I have one last question for you.
Cool.
Feel free to go as deep as you want on this, if you want, or if it's even possible. But what is the main thing that you are struggling with right now? And what are you doing to change that?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So I say the main thing I'm struggling with right now is I'm still doing some work that doesn't fill me up. Like it feels just like work. So I have a social media management background too. So I was like the social media manager at Blender's Eyewear for a bit. It's like an e-commerce brand. And so now I do like freelance social media management as, you know, part of my income right now. And, you know, I'm managing a personal brand right now, and, you know, parts of it I love, but it's taking up a lot of my time. And, you know, it's good money, but at the same time, it's just, there's a lot of parts of it, like nuances that just don't feel purposeful. They don't feel in my wheelhouse. And it's kind of like, there's just some things on my plate that don't feel aligned with my purpose in terms of this client work that I'm doing. And so what I'm trying to do is just be transparent with the client and just tell him like, hey, here's what I love to do. Here's what I can help with. And kind of getting to a place where we both understand like what I'm working on and how I can get to a place where maybe I'm working less on like the in the weeds, you know, type work that I don't enjoy. And yeah, I think that's kind of how I'm solving it, is rather than like just like, oh, like doing the work, like actually just communicating with him like, hey, man, like I don't want to be doing this part of it anymore. So shoot, hold on. Sorry, I was getting a call. But yeah, man, that's pretty much the biggest thing I'm struggling with at the moment as far as work goes. And I'd say, you know, personal life is I've just been so focused on this whole NFT stuff that I've started to lose sight of like my physical health. Like I'm really trying to get in the gym every, you know, at least 5 days a week and surf more. I used to surf, you know, 5 times a week, and I would, you know, get in the gym a lot more. And recently I've just been really consumed with all that stuff. So just getting back to being out in the real world again and, you know, surfing, like just going and having fun. Like I feel like I've been really like laser focused on this NFT stuff, which is fine because, you know, you kind of train like an athlete, like you sprint real hard, then you rest and reassess and come back. That's kind of how I do it. But yeah, I've started to feel myself like yearning to go live again and like be in the ocean, just go do things out in life. And so, yeah, I want to get back to that. So yeah, man, that's it. That's my answer.
I dig it. Yeah. Trust the gut, man. That's something, I've talked with a few people about recently is like, yeah, you're going to be pulled into those high intensity periods when it's time, and you may like your focus is there and energy flows where attention goes. Like if 80% of your energy is going into this NFT thing and only 20% is left over for the gym or other things, like that's okay for a short amount of time. But then you as the person you are
for sure.
will naturally gravitate towards that stuff as well, or the other things. So it's like, go where life pulls you. if that,
yes, man,
the spiritual way of saying it in a sense. So
totally agree. And I'm glad life pulled me on this podcast, dude. This was sick.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I agree, man. Yeah, it was really fun. I feel like the listeners will get a ton out of it. So if anyone's listening, follow Jay. I'll let him shoot his plugs, but like, tell us how you enjoyed it. Like I've been loving that recently, man. There've been like a few people that tweet how they enjoyed a specific podcast, and dude, it makes our day. It's really, amazing. It's really cool to hear. So if you guys enjoyed this one, let us know. And Jay, where can people find you at, and any shameless plugs you have?
Yeah, thanks, man. All right. So my Twitter is at Mr. Jay Croft. So it's JayCroft, F as in Frank T. And then my Instagram is just J_Croft. So JAY_Croft. And then you can find my business Instagrams and all that through those accounts. That's basically it, man. I've got all my links there. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Cool, man. Well, yeah. Thanks again for coming on. I'm sure we'll be in touch in the DMs and everything. I'll be keeping up with your journey. But yeah, man. Thanks again. And to everyone listening, we'll see you in the next one.
Sounds good, bro. Thank you. This has been great, dude. I loved it.
Yeah. All right. See you, man.
Dope. All right, bro. I appreciate you.
My friends, thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. I have a few favors to ask you. For a whopping $0, you can support this podcast by following, rating, and subscribing on whatever platform you are listening on. And for an additional $0, you can share this podcast on your social media accounts, tag me in it at TheDanCo, and I will share you on the community page. This truly helps the Modern Mastery community and podcast grow and allows me to bring you top-tier guests to fuel your hunger for wisdom. It costs $0, but it does cost you your time, and we understand how valuable that can be. But considering you spent an hour or so listening to this podcast, a 1 minute subscribe or follow button click and social media share isn't too much to ask. And if you truly enjoyed it, we would hope that you do this out of the kindness of your heart. And we truly appreciate it. And the second favor, which costs money, is joining Modern Mastery HQ, the only platform you need to master your mind, body, and spirit while building a 5 to 10K a month online business as a creator, coach, freelancer, or entrepreneur. You can go to join.modernmastery.co to join 350 plus members and gain instant access to information that has the potential of making you hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime as a business owner. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, and I hope to see you in the next one. Peace.